Luke 16, verse 19, there was, this is not a parable, there was no place in your Bible you ever find where Jesus mentioned a name of anyone in a parable. This is the real deal. He said that there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus that was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Isn't that a blessed thought? The angels are just going to carry you right into the presence of God when you die. The rich man also died, and he was buried. Now, you can do all you want on this crematory. But let me tell you something. When I kick out of here, y'all bury me somewhere. I'm not going to be here. That's just my clay. That's just my body. My soul and spirit, because the body says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My soul and spirit to be with Jesus, safe in heaven. Now, he said he was buried, and in hell, he lift his eyes. Being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, the one that was begging in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Just send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you, they cannot, neither can they pass to us that would move from thence. In other words, said the people that you can see, you can't get to them. And those that could see you, they can't get to you. And he said, I pray thee, and this is where I want to preach out of this morning. He said, well, I just want to pray and ask you something. Said, would you send him to my father's house? For I've got five brethren, or family, or brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham, the father of our faith, said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'd repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for this time together. Pray now you'd help me. I pray, Lord, that you'd make hell real and heaven sweet this morning. Oh, God, I need you to touch me preaching. Lord, I pray that you would reach into a sinner's heart this morning. Wherever he or she may sit, whatever their age may be, would you show them their need of salvation today before it's eternally too late? Help us now. With thy word, in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You'll notice that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes. And he asked Abraham, he said, I wish you'd just dip the tip of your finger in water and just cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And he said, by the way, I want to ask you something. I've got a request to ask of you. He said, I wish you would go to my daddy's house, because I've got five brethren, lest they also come into this place. This is what I want to preach on this morning. One in hell and more on the way. One in hell and more on the way. I want to say that this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. I don't believe nobody ever intended to die and go to hell in their sin. You just can't make me believe that in spite of good intentions, that it makes a difference, cause it don't. This man, no doubt, probably had good intentions. Now, Jesus said something in Mark 8:34. I want to say this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. Now, I know that a lot of us have intentions to get saved. But I'm going to say this, a intention won't get you saved. In Mark 8 and verse number 34, one verse. Now Jesus is writing, this is what He says. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He said, I want to ask you something. Though you climb the corporate ladder as far as it reaches and you obtain that you're looking for, but when you die, I want to remind you, there's no U-Haul hooked up to your coffin when you're done. I want to remind you that they may put something in your coffin, but it's not going to where you are. There's only one or two places that you can go when you die. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Now, I want to say this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. And I want to say something that may surprise you, what I'm going to say. I don't think this man is what we know really as a wicked man. He is probably a pretty good man. Did you know there's a lot of good people in hell this morning? And I'll tell you why I make that statement. They may have never been a thug. They may have never went out and done something like what we think. But I want to remind you what the Bible says. There's none good. No, not one. But I'm glad He gave us more Bible than that. He let us know we're all on a level playing field. And therefore, I want to say this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. And I want to say, secondly, he died and went to hell in spite of his intrusion. Now, I want to tell you what the Bible teaches about hell. The Bible teaches this, that hell was created for the devil and his angels. You say, well, let me ask you this, Pastor. If God loved me like you say God loves me, why would He put me in hell? Well, that's a good question, and it's a question of great logic and content. Because you've got a point, but I've got a Bible. He don't put you in hell. You put your own self in hell by bypassing what He's done to get you to heaven. Now, He has no choice. So I want to say that this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. He died and went to hell in spite of his intrusion. Now, he found out, first of all, hell was a real place. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. Well, let me ask you this. What if I'm right and you wrong? Matter of fact, I'm not taking a chance because I got the Word of God tells me there's a real place called hell. You see, he went to hell in spite of his intrusion. And what I want to say is, he found out hell was a real place. In Isaiah 5 and verse 14. Boy, we live in a day where it's a lot of compromise and a lot of liberal preachers and they don't want to offend nobody. But what kind of preacher would I be if I didn't warn your family about there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Now, he found out hell was a real place in Isaiah 5 and verse number 14. This is what he said. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Now, he found out hell was a real place. He lifted his eyes in hell. Now, I want to say, in spite of his intrusion, not only was it a real place, he found out it was a ready place. Hell's ready for you. And Calvary awaits you. But if you don't choose to accept His Son, you're going to find out when you die and lift your eyes in hell. Hell is a ready place. It's ready for sinners. And I'm glad Jesus is ready for sinners. But certainly you'll find in Proverbs 27 and 20. And my goodness, what a true statement. Proverbs 27 and 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. He went to hell in spite of his intrusion. In other words, he went there to a place that wasn't made for him. It's only made for those that reject Jesus. Now, it's a real place. It's a ready place. And then Psalms 9 and 17, underline this in your Bible. It's a reckoning place. It's a place where people reject Christ, and there they are eternally punished for their sins. In Isaiah 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And watch this, and all the nations that forget God. Now, America's on a fast track there. We went a long way from when I was in the first grade, and a school teacher had two things on her leg. She had a King James Bible on one leg and a paddle on the other, and I was scared to death of both of them. Now America shook her fist in the face of God and said, we've got gold and we've got silver and we've got technology and we can put men in places that men's never been. But America's forgot about a thrice holy God that sinners is going to stand before and give an account on Judgment Day. I remind you, Mom and Daddies, when you get to heaven, God is not going to reward you for teaching your young'un to play ball or teaching your young'un to be the smartest in the class. And I know all those things has its own place and time. But that's not priority. Priority is seeing your children and you yourself is ready to meet our God. And yes, our God is a loving God. But He sent His Son on Calvary cross to die in my place and your place. And if you deny what God's done for you, you'll lift your eyes in hell. You say, preacher, how could that be the love of God? This is the love of God. He sent you a preacher to try to steer you out of the direction you headed. And this morning, I want to say there's one in hell and more on the way. Hell hath enlarged herself. Now I want to say this man died and went to hell in spite of his intentions. He died and went to hell in spite of his intrusions. But he also died and went to hell in spite of his information. He is warned about this place. You know why I say he was warned about this place? Look in that text in Luke 16. He said, verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And then this is what he said. He said, well, I wish that you would send him, in verse 27, to my father's house, because I've got five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. You remember there that God told him, remember Abraham. I believe he heard the prophets preach. If he didn't hear the prophets preach, why did he remind him? He said, listen, they're going to do like everybody else. We can't take nobody from the dead and send them back and let them. He said, if they don't hear and believe the prophets preaching, they're going to come to this place. It's amazing what some of you believe. You listen to me. I want to grow a church. I want to see as many families in this part of the country can come to a place and get help. But what kind of ministry would it be if it didn't preach to you the truth about eternal things? A lot of you use hell in your language every day. But it's a lot more than vernacular. Hell's a real place. Hell's a dreaded place. And I want to say this man died and went to hell in his sins in spite of his intentions, in spite of his intrusions, and he died and went to hell in spite of his information. I believe he was warned. But just because you've been warned don't mean that you won't die and go to hell in your sin. You've got to do something about the light God's given you. Now look what the Bible says, Hebrews 4 and verse number 1. Hebrews 4 and verse number 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into rest of any of you should seem to come short of it. Here it is in verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now I want to say he died and went to hell in spite of his information. He got information about it, but he didn't do nothing with the information. Now this Bible says that the gospel was preached to us, and by its preaching, it was mixed with faith in them that heard it and believed upon Christ. I'm glad that I had an old man of God took a Bible and told me about how to get to heaven. And when he started preaching, my faith was ignited. Did you know the Bible says this? He's given unto every man, woman, boy, and girl, a measure of faith. Now, when this word is preached, he said the Word of God goes out and it accesses faith. Makes contact. Makes faith get real. In other words, it gives you a chance by the preaching of the Word of God. I remind you, the Bible said this, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. I've heard preachers say, you don't have to do nothing, you can just live a good life. Let me ask you this. Have you ever received Him as your Savior? You must receive Christ. He's the key to the lock. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. And therefore, I'm going to tell you this man, he died and went to a devil's hell in spite of good intentions, in spite of great intrusions, in spite of great information. And I want to say, he died and went to hell in spite of inflictions. He was tormented. Do you think, I heard people say this one time, I'll never forget, here's a boy that I worked with in the company, and he'd always made fun of me being a preacher, you know, Bible thumper, man. I know you're a preacher, and I know you go to church and all that. And he said, but I'm going to tell you something. If I die and go to hell, I can say this, I had a good time. And this is what God told me to tell him, Mary Marvel. Yeah, you're right, Tommy. You had a good time. It ain't no party going on in hell. Ain't no card game playing in hell. Ain't no drinking in hell. They'd give everything they've ever had for a drink of water in hell. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Jesus wrote about this place where the flame was not quenched and the worm never dies. Wouldn't it be the most amazing thing to close your eyes to this comfort of what God has allowed you to have in this life and die without Christ and lift your eyes in hell? My goodness, wake up. Eternity's too long to be wrong. I want to say it was one in hell and more on the way. He was concerned about that. That'd do our church to get concerned about not only folks in hell, but that others on the way. I got an uncle I love. Boy, I love him. Little old young kid in Tennessee, he'd come pick me up, Brother Mark. He'd take me to the dove fields. They wouldn't even let me have a shotgun at that age. I was so small, and he'd shoot them doves. I'd go retrieve. I was better than a retriever. I could see him coming up the road in 068 Plymouth, 4-speed. But he's never accepted Christ. Boy, how I love him. You know, I'm preaching to some of the finest people that's ever walked in a building. But don't let the devil fool you. Your goodness is not going to get you to heaven. One of the most religious men in the Bible, John 3. Look what he told him. I want you to see what Jesus said. In John 3, the Bible said in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Why, he is a ruler of the Jews. He knew the law inside and out. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things unless God be with him. And Jesus answered him and he said, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus asked him this question. It was a logical question. He's an older man. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He wanted to know. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water, earthly from your mother's womb, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, watch this. You say, why do you say that water is flesh? Look what Jesus says in verse 6. Then that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, your mother's water broke and you were born. And that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, look in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That word means where it sent. And thou hearest the sound thereof. It amazes me how the wind blows. Some of you sit in this congregation this morning, and you sitting there just like, man, there's nothing bothering me. And some of you sitting right by people that it's a bothering them. Because the wind's a blowing. Thank God that God's wind is a blowing. And I'm glad the Spirit of God deals with us and convicts us of our sin. You know what we're missing, Brother Jake, in our Baptist churches is conviction of the Spirit. We got plenty of preaching. Got plenty of technology. We just don't got no conviction much. Boy, I'm glad God's convicting. What's that mean? Troubling. Bothering me. But when God got to convicting me, my wife couldn't tell me it's going to be all right because I knowed it wasn't all right. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't a man in the country could have a better woman than what I've got. But she could not give me peace. And not only then did he convict me, he convinced me. Yep. I'm just what that Bible says. I'm lost and undone without Christ. And hell's going to be my home if I don't receive Him as my Savior. And I won't say this. Some of you say, well, let me ask you something. Why should God let me in heaven? He shouldn't. But it's cause His Son. He chose to put His Son on a cross. And what them young'uns were singing about, He shed His blood that we could believe in His Son and be saved. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now watch your Bibles. I close right here. I want to say that one in hell and more on their way, he went in spite of his intentions. He went in spite of his intrusion. He went in spite of his information. He went in spite of the inflictions. But I'm going to say, you don't have to go because you have instructions. And in Ephesians chapter number 2, look what he says. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You know why you don't like nothing about the things of God? Because you're dead. Dead man don't respond to God. And let me tell you, what made us all spiritually dead was the garden. When Adam sinned, he plunged total mankind into total depravity. No such thing as part dead. We were all dead. David, now watch this, a man after God's own heart. In Psalms 51, I want you to look right here just a minute. And look what David said. It helped me in my life when I seen this. He said in verse 5, and I want to say right here, before I close and we go home, I want to say something. There's not a man here had a better mom and dad than what I had. But look what he said, and it applies to every one of us in Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, we were all born sinners. You know why you sin? Because you was born as a sinner. We don't have to teach people to do wrong. It comes naturally. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Now let me ask you this. After I got born again, preacher, have you made mistakes? Well, sure I have. But the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all of my sin. Now back to the text, Ephesians 2. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle. This is where the devil tricks a lot of people. I wouldn't come to Jesus. Somebody think you is a bad person. You are a bad person. This ain't Joel Osteen. I'm not propping you up by emotions. I'm telling you, honey, we're wicked to the core. And it took the spotless Lamb of God to take our place to get us to heaven. Watch this. Backing the Bible up. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Man, I still got desires of the flesh. But since I've got saved, the Spirit of God lives in me. And now He says, don't you do that. Things used to didn't bother me before I got saved. I could smoke more weed than anybody in this building. That didn't bother me. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God moved in me and started living. I couldn't do what I used to do. He is living in there. You say, how do you know it's real? Honey, I didn't go to the AA clinic. Jesus done something to me. Now watch. He said we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all stand even, right? Everybody in this building stands even there. And I know some of you think, not my grandchildren, preacher. Yes, your grandchildren. They're wicked inside. Wicked. We're all wicked. There's none good, no, not one. Now watch. We were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, I'm glad that's in our Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, spiritually dead, He's quickened us. That word means the Spirit of God has come to us and made us alive through the preaching of the Word of God when we accepted His Son. Now watch. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, listen to me now. I'm done. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do good on you. You just can't work your way into heaven. You've got to realize you're lost. You've got to realize that you need a Savior. And the only Savior that will get you to heaven is Christ. And He says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 14, for He is our peace. Let me share, I want you to come. Who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 18, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I want to say this, Brother Tim and Brother Mike, I want y'all to come here just a minute. And I want to try my best to show a young person this morning, or an older person. Here I was on life's way. And I'll guarantee you this, if we put everything on a board, these two men would probably top out, y'all'd have to agree, on probably some of the cleanest men in our church. Wouldn't you agree with that? I was just like Brother Tim. I was a pretty good guy. I was. I'd just do anything. I got around the wrong crowd. And I got to doing what you'll do. What they do. And I married that woman sitting right yonder. And she started living a life in me, in front of me, that I knew I didn't have. Yeah. Right. I knew. I believed in God. I'd been to church all my life. But I knew she had something that I didn't have. And I went and heard a preacher preach. And he scared me to death. And then God sent another preacher to my house on a Saturday, and he walked in. That's what he said. Are you saved? I'd never had nobody care for me like that. All they wanted was my weed. And when he said that, the Spirit of God started right here. Amen. Brother Adam, I've been in church all my life, but God had never dealt with me till that Saturday. My wife said, Ken, what's wrong? I said, I ain't got no peace. So I come to church that Sunday, and an old country preacher got up and he preached. I don't even know what he preached. But I know it's right because he's using the right kind of Bible. He stood up and he said, now, I'm going to give an invitation. If anybody wants to be saved, let them come to Jesus. And it's what happened. It started in me. Been troubling me all week. And by faith, when I stepped out to receive Christ, Jesus got me, and He got His Father. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And He said, I'm going to reconcile you.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Yes.
And He gave me peace like I've never had peace. Now, I've done a lot of wrong since then. But I've always had that peace to know that heaven would be my home. The devil told me, what's everybody going to think? They think you're saved. I'm glad I didn't listen to the devil. The greatest day in my life, Macy Megan, is when I did this. My foot just simply started toward Him. And it's what I said, just like Peter said. It's what I said. Lord, save me. And guess what? He did. Now, I didn't understand it all then, but I understood enough to know I was going to hell in my sins. And I knowed enough, if I'd call upon Him, He'd save me. Now, do you believe that this morning? Then you can be saved if you trust Him. You can have peace that passes all understanding. But you're going to have to trust Christ. Young person, I wish I could tell you you'd live to my age. Or to your grandparents. I wish I could guarantee you that, but I can't guarantee you that. Ma'am, sir, I wish I could guarantee you that you could get back to church like this Sunday where God is dealing with you, that you could get saved. I wish I could guarantee it, but I can't guarantee you. All I can tell you is what Jesus said: today is the day of salvation. And in spite of all the good intentions this man had, you know what? He died and went to hell in his sins because he bypassed the information. Jesus saved. Now I want to ask you this morning.